Welcome to a Colchester Arts Centre special podcast. Yes, it's Christmas time, and we're all getting...
They're always special.
Every single one, but we've got in the Christmas spirit. The tree is being dressed today at Colchester Arts Centre.
Oh, that's special.
As we speak.
And Sophie, you've come straight from Hotfoot from the Arts Centre. How's it looking?
So currently, half the tree has lights on it. The angel or the star is yet to go on the top.
Is that going to be Mark Butcher's?
Yes, it might be.
No wonder he's a bit grumpy.
There's lots of ladders up ready for the top decorations. So yeah, it's very exciting.
Is it true that Mark was a bit grumpy?
I think it's fair to say he was a little bit grumpy, yeah.
But talking of grumpiness...
Perhaps he needs a cuddle.
Yes.
A Christmas cuddle.
But do you know what? A Christmas cuddle would be a good title for a...
song.
Or indeed a novel. A novel written about a grumpy character at Christmas.
Mark Butcher's.
But it was not Mark Butcher. No, it was in fact...
His name's Mark
Scrooge.
Butcher's.
Ebenezer Scrooge.
Yes.
And here we have a first for Colchester Arts Centre podcast, because we've got Charles Dickens...
Here.
Who is going to...
In person.
He's going
from
to...
From the grave.
He's going to recite... A little bit of a Christmas carol, aren't you, Charles?
No, I'm not. I'm dead.
Can I call you Charles?
Yeah, they call me Charles if you like. Yeah.
Right, Charlie, could you actually...
How much am I getting paid for this?
Is Charlie okay, by the way?
Anthony's going to do it instead of me.
Right, I'll do it instead of Charles. Then.
Yes, please.
Right, so this is a little section from where Ebenezer Scrooge goes into a different part of London. And goes into a poor part of London. So this is how it goes. The ways were foul and narrow, the shops and houses wretched, the people half-naked, drunken, slipshod, ugly. Alleyways and arches disgorged their offences of smell and life and dirt upon the straggling streets, and the whole quarter reeked with crime, with filth and misery. It was Charles Dickens.
No, it weren't.
It was.
So did Charles Dickens have a very low Cockney accent? I mean, low voice Cockney. Did he speak like Arthur?
Well, he's here. What do you mean?
I'm sorry.
Come on, do it.
Yeah, of course, I did. I've done that novel.
Yeah.
You know, it went down quite well.
Yeah.
So, I'm surprised that you're talking about that, Joel.
I didn't know he was a Danny Dyer of the 19th century. But anyway, over to Sophie, who would like to ask... We've now got Anthony Roberts, of course, here.
Yeah. Hello.
To ask you about your amazing, successful, almost phenomenal show.
Almost.
Not quite.
Not quite.
Called A Christmas Carol. Over to Soph.
So, Anthony, when did you start with your Christmas Carol reciting?
I did it in 1998 for the first time, and then I didn't do it again for about 15 years because I was so exhausted and shagged out. And I thought, I'm not doing that again.
And it's set out this year.
Yes,
so it sells
out now. But about 5 years ago, I did it to about 30 people, like my wife's extended family and Liz Mullen from the board.
Yeah.
And that was about it. So I don't really know why it suddenly started. But now, 600 tickets have been sold. Amazing.
Oh, it's snowballed. It's definitely snowballed.
It's snowballed.
So is there any reason why you chose to do that? Why did you want to do that and sort of give it to a larger audience?
That's a question I ask myself all the time. Why am I doing this? I originally saw Simon Callow reading it on the telly, and I thought, well, I could do better than that. That's when I first did it. Also having Jamie playing the piano, that's really nice now.
Okay.
So he came along and I said, can you maybe try this, try that? And so he underscores it now with the piano to come. It makes a whole new kind of like emotional kind of range to it.
Yeah.
And he's able to improvise and work round bits and pieces in the audience. And that gives it a much liver feel and can respond to what's happening and makes it more fun for me. So
Do you feel like you dream in bits of prose, of Dickensian prose, or you becoming Charles Dickens? Or?
Yeah, that's a lovely idea, isn't it? I tell you what, I was never really a huge Dickens fan. Did him at A-level, at our mutual friend, but then there's passages where his writing is absolutely sublime. But I never really connected with him as an author.
Yeah.
He gets hopelessly sentimental. His women are either blushingly beautiful maidens or old, like Mrs. Cratchit. Oh, bless you, my dear. Sit you down, have a warm, and either like that. So it wasn't kind of like. But when you learn the words, it's like one big poem.
Yeah.
And he really has an extraordinarily beautiful command of the English language, and it's a real pleasure to recite it, you know, once you've learned
yeah.
it.
Yeah. Is the next step maybe reciting Muppet's Christmas Carol?
I was hoping you'd say that. That segued into my next project.
Actually, you know, if you were on the Muppet Kermit. Show, which Muppet Kermit. would you be? That's a good question.
Oh, well, I think Mark would be, you and Mark would be the two grumpy old...
No. Yes.
Very good. That's exactly like him. It's a like
that. Yeah, who would Ben Howard be on the Muppet Show?
What podcast would be complete without Anthony Clavain's Marlon Brando impersonation?
You come here to my house, you show me no respect.
How's that?
Brilliant.
Whoa. Yeah.
It's so good.
Now, Dickens and Brando.
We love that.
Dickens and Brando in the same room.
Mm.
Sophie.
Yes.
Are you too young to remember the Muppet Show?
No. Oh, actually, no, I am. But I just like Muppet's Christmas Carol.
So,
yeah.
Any particular favourite Muppet from that?
If I say
Miss Piggy, would that be?
Yeah, I don't. I like her, but I think I really like Kermit and the Rat.
Ah,
the Rat? Rizzo the Rat?
Yes, Rizzo.
Yeah, it's Rizzo the Rat.
Rizzo the Rat.
Yeah, definite fave.
Yeah. Ben, you're a Miss Piggy fan, I think.
No, I like Zoot.
Oh, right.
Thrusting Miss Piggy upon everyone.
Well, the cool one, because you're like a cool dude, aren't you?
No. Zoot came about because in my Christmas stocking one year, I got a badge of Zoot.
Did you?
Yeah. I don't know why Father Christmas gave me a badge of Zoot. I must have found it on the floor.
What a suit.
But yeah, so ever since then, I like Zoot, even though he's kind of underrated. And
Now, I'm glad Ben's here, because Ben and Stafford and myself and Sophie... we've all got into this citizen journalism project. And at the moment, we've got this website where there are many different reviews and previews and podcasts that people can actually go into. Sophie, you've just written a review of The Magic Band.
Yes.
And again, I think for your age group, you know, it's like, you know, we all
Magic
like...
Band.
Polite applause for Magic Band. We all remember Captain Beefheart, and I know, Anthony, you're a big Captain Beefheart fan.
Yeah, I saw him in 1980 twice.
Wow.
And what one of her points in the review I thought was really fascinating was the age group of the people who were there.
Yeah.
They're like all old codgers like Anthony Roberts.
Yeah, they were.
I didn't
all
term it like that. But
no, you didn't. Yeah, no, sorry. Those are my words, not yours.
It was really interesting because...
Was it 70% blokes, I thought? Maybe,
yep, I
maybe
definitely
80%.
Think so. They're all around kind of my dad's age, and it was really nice to see everyone.
Yeah.
It's like... age went completely the opposite for a little bit, and everyone was right at the front singing every single word of the song, like dancing to the music. Yeah. Like they'd buy a drink, but when they were waiting for you to pour it, they'd be dancing and singing along. It was really, really exciting to be around, actually. Yeah. So it was a lovely, lovely gig.
And for you, who you didn't know that much about them,
no.
And then you turn up on the off chance. It's like go to the art centre, so many different things happening. You know nothing about them. It's like Wonderful Wednesdays. And suddenly your eyes are opened, your ears are opened.
Yeah, I mean, what an experience. Because I've got them on my... I've downloaded some of their albums now, so I'm listening to them on my way to work.
Mm.
But it's just really... it's just a sensory experience.
Yeah.
Because you can really tell by that kind of psychedelic, LSD-fueled sound. Mm. It's really quite interesting.
And sort of coming back a bit, isn't it? It's quite
influential. And my friend Pasco has got a phrase for it. I mean, he claims it's his phrase, but I don't know. He calls them the Grey Radicals. Grey Radicals, because there's a generation of people that engaged with Beefheart, Andy Warhol, Velvet Underground.
Yeah.
And why would that go away? If you kind of like have that taste when you're young, do you just kind of like... drift off into the mainstream, or do you retain an interest in that kind of spiky?
Well, yeah, we had Silver Apples, I think they are.
That's right.
Playing last year, and that was kind of similar, really, you know, quite from a few years ago, you know, way back. Yet that sound is so right for now, you know, it's really interesting.
I found that gig particularly depressing because afterwards I was mistaken for. A guy who must be 70. This guy was like, mate, what you do with them oscillators, mate? And I was like, what? I'm not.
And you don't look a day over 69.
Right. Yeah.
So it's a good way to sort of end, because a Grey Radical
end
could
of my
be a
career.
you could say Charles Dickens was a Grey Radical.
Yeah, it could do, I suppose.
And also, if you're thinking about the age of Grey Radicals, there's the sort of leader of the opposition who's a grey radical.
Oh, yes. Now you've gone all political on this time.
Oh, yeah. Well, actually, we better not get too political. We better sort of say thank you very much, though, to Sophie Cole.
Thank you.
Thank you very much to Anthony Roberts.
Thank you.
Thank you to Ben Howard, who's... Are you silent?
I'm not here.
You're not here. And also, thank you very much to Charles Dickens.
Yeah, mate. Is it checking the post?